The 10th annual Books by the Banks Cincinnati Regional Book Festival will take place on Saturday, October 15th from 10 to 4 p.m. at the Duke Energy Center. The event is free and features national, regional, and local authors and illustrators, as well as book signings, panel discussions, and activities for the entire family. Sandy Bullock, who is the planning and operations team leader, is here to fill us in on this wonderful festival, along with two authors who will be there. They are Cincinnati's very own Rick Pender, the columnist for City Beat and WCPO.com insider. Catherine McKenzie, who is a practicing attorney in Montreal, and as we'll shortly find out, can talk like a native about a certain Cincinnati neighborhood, also joins us by phone. Her novel is titled Fractured. She's the international best-selling author of several novels, including Smoke, which was named one of the top 100 books of 2015 by Amazon. Her latest, Fractured, has just been named one of the 25 big books coming out this fall by Goodreads. And I want to say welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sandy, if you would, tell us about the mission of Books by the Banks and what criteria, how you decide what books are included in this festival.
Well, the mission is very simple. It is a regional and annual celebration of books and reading. Books by the Banks has been in existence for 10 years. As you mentioned, we're very excited about celebrating our 10th anniversary. We love the fact that we support the really rich trove of local writers and illustrators here. When I say local, I don't just mean Cincinnati. Of course, I mean Kentucky. I mean other areas of Ohio. I mean Indiana. But we also pull in authors that have national reputations. We have a very good reputation in the publishing community. We also have a very good reputation as a city that loves reading. People come to the festival and they have a great time. They really engage with the authors. They buy their books. They really love it. And I think that reputation for, again, the celebration of books and reading has really served us well over the years. But in answer to your question about how we select the authors, as I mentioned, we have a really rich resource here in the Cincinnati area. So we certainly try and pull in authors that are either from Cincinnati or are writing about Cincinnati or the region. But we also do look to see who's out there, who's got a new book coming in the fall. In the spring, the author team starts looking at what the releases are going to be like in the fall. And they start reaching out to local authors, to national authors, inviting them to the festival. We emphasize new books. We love the fact that we have all of these people who are writing regularly and publishing regularly. So we really try and focus on books that have been published within the past couple of years.
So on the very day of the festival, there are a variety of things that are happening. You want to clue us in on what those are, please?
Oh my gosh, there's so much going on. Of course, the authors are the heart and soul of the festival. When you come down to Duke Energy Center, you'll find all of the authors meeting people and signing books and the author pavilion. But we also have dedicated areas for kids and teens, the kids corner and the teen scene. We want families to come down and spend the entire day at the festival. So we have a full schedule of activities in both the kids corner and the teen scene. The activities in the kids corner, there's lots of crafts, but we also involve the authors. We have story times. So some of the authors will be doing story times with their books. Librarians have been known to do story times as well. We have performances, so I think we're going to have a mini performance from Playhouse in the Park this year in the Kids Corner. And the teen scene, they have craft activities as well, but they really have a pretty strong representation of the teen authors in the teen scene. They have round tables, so the teen authors are sitting at round tables with teens talking about their books. We really want people who come to the festival to have a personal experience. So it's not just, you know, sitting in a panel session, although that's an important part of what we do, but the opportunity to really spend time talking to the authors about their work and about the creative process.
Wonderful feedback for the authors, too, I suspect.
Well, I think our authors here who are participating can speak to that. But yes, the authors always speak very highly of the opportunity for that personal engagement.
And it's important to note that this is not just a one-day event. Actually, you all start from what I saw in the summer with various activities. And between now and the festival, there's one of those events that's coming up, and it's called Genre Genius.
Yes, indeed. I need to provide a little bit of background. A couple of years ago, we started, due to demand from our festival attendees, we added a couple of panel sessions for people who are interested in getting into writing, who are interested in writing a book. That panel track really blossomed into something very special, and we call it the Writing Getting Published track. So we have a full series of panels at the festival the day of, but we also have other events that are going around in the community. One of those events you mentioned takes place at the University of Cincinnati. And as you said, it's Genre Genius in Cincinnati, from sci-fi to hybrid forms. And this is in partnership with Books by the Banks and our friends at the University of Cincinnati. This is an opportunity for you to attend a panel session with creative writing experts and practitioners for an afternoon of sharing and discovery. This panel discussion will focus on science fiction and fantasy, comics and graphic novels, and the mixed mastery of hybrid forms. There's a casual component to it, but it's also an opportunity for people to talk with experts in the field. That's going to happen on Tuesday, October 11th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the University of Cincinnati Langsam Library.
Wonderful. I want to bring Catherine into our conversation. First of all, Catherine, I want to welcome you, as well as saying congratulations on having Fractured honored by Goodreads. What a great start.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
So as I mentioned, you're a practicing attorney in Montreal, and shortly we're going to find out why you might have a book included in a Cincinnati event. But before we do that, give us an overview of Fractured and the very frightening problem the protagonist, Julie, faces and the effect on her relationships.
Sure. So the main character, Julie Apple, is a best-selling novelist. Think of Gillian Flynn after Gone Girl. Her life sort of blows up, and she attracts a lot of attention for the book, some good and some bad, including a stalker. She's living in Tacoma, Washington at the time, with her husband and two children, and so she decides to pick up her life and move to try and start over, and she moves to Mount Adams, Cincinnati. And things sort of get off on the wrong foot in the neighborhood from the beginning and spiral out of control. And when the book opens, there is a family waiting to testify at a grand jury. So someone is dead, someone is accused, we don't know who. And then the other timeline is the previous 12 months leading to that day at the grand jury, where you find out what happened in this neighborhood in Cincinnati.
And what kind of effect does this have on our relationships?
Well, I mean, I think when you're questioned by people and your motives are questioned, one of the things, she wrote a book called The Murder Game about a group of law students who plan the perfect murder, and people think that it's based on her real life. Many authors will appreciate that we get asked all the time if the events in our books are based on ourselves. So it creates a sort of aura of suspicion around her, which affects her relationships with everyone. People greet her with suspicion. Her husband at one point isn't even sure the stalker exists. It just sort of infiltrates every part of her life.
Let's go on to location, 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 because I am fascinated to find out how you decided to set this in Mount Adams. And were you here? Have you visited Mount Adams prior to choosing that location?
So I've actually attended the Books by the Banks Book Festival for 4 years. So that was my introduction to Cincinnati. I have a good friend that lives there, and my sister's in-laws and husband are from there as well. So when I was looking around to set this book somewhere, I thought about setting it in Cincinnati. I haven't in the past set a book in a specific city, and I thought it would be an interesting challenge to myself to see if I could make it realistic. I had not been in Mount Adams, but I picked Mount Adams by Googling rich neighborhoods in Cincinnati, and it came up. And then when I started looking at the images of it, I mean, I think it's really beautiful, you know, set up on the hill, and the houses are really colorful, and it kind of has a bit of a San Francisco feel to it. So I sort of fell in love with the neighborhood by looking at it online. And then, of course, both at last year's Books by the Banks Festival and another trip, I spent a bit of time in it, well, more than a bit of time, but anyway, I spent a couple of days in the neighborhood, walking around, getting the feel on the ground for things. And in those moments that seem to only happen to authors of serendipity, I had imagined that there was a lane behind these houses and had described this lane, and it had something to do with the way the plot develops. And it didn't really matter if the lane existed. It's a fake street in Mount Adams that I've used. But when I went to the street that was the street that I was basing it on in my imagination, I found that lane, which was kind of cool. So it just, it all worked. It's the proximity of the park. It just worked for the story. And I really enjoy being in Cincinnati. I think it's a really lovely city. It's going through rejuvenation, I think, in the last 10 years, from what I understand, downtown. And I love coming to the Books by the Bank Festival for all the reasons you just heard about.
So. Well, we're delighted you chose it as a setting, and your facts are right on about geography and so forth. Yes. Rick Pender is in the studio with us, and he has a lot of perfect things to tell us about Cincinnati, actually. So, Rick, this wonderful resource you've created, 100 Things to Do in Cincinnati Before You Die, is featured at Books by the Banks. And I'm wondering what inspired it.
Well, I'm not a Cincinnati native, in fact, but I've lived about half my life here. I moved here in 1980 and really call this place home and love being here, and have worked in and around the arts and as a journalist and really gotten to know the city quite well. In fact, I occasionally do some tour guiding for the Convention and Visitors Bureau and others. I should also mention that I'm a regular interviewer of theater personnel here in town for Around Cincinnati, so I'm very comfortable here in the studio. And over time, I've accumulated a lot of thoughts about, well, this would be a good place to visit, and this, you know, if people are interested in this sort of thing, then, well, they should check this out. So when this opportunity arose, I actually compiled a list of 200 things to do, and then it got to whittle it down to what I think are, it's a really essential bucket list of things that you should do. And I was listening to Catherine, I was going to say, if my book had been out in time, she might have used it because there are several stops in the Mount Adams area that are among the things to do.
I definitely would have.
I just think it's a wonderful book for a staycation, friends in town, newcomers. And I thought maybe you could, this is a hard question to answer, but, you know, maybe pick things that are classically Cincinnati that you did include.
The book has five categories in it, and the first of those is food and drink. And one of the very first items, well, the two first items that I listed, one was Cincinnati chili, of course, because people need to know that. That one actually lists many of the outlets for Cincinnati chili. The second, though, was Arnold's Bar and Grill. Arnold's has been here for 155 years. It is a gathering place for people from all stripes. Lots of fun on election night, in fact, yes. When things are happening there. Lots of politicians have their election night party there. So those are two of the things. My other categories include music and entertainment, sports and recreation, culture and history, and shopping and fashion. So among other things that you might consider doing from my book of things, one of them is to sing. Cincinnati is a city that sings, as many folks like to say, and there are so many options that are out there, and I list all of them under one thing. I mean, you could find six or eight of them, frankly, just under this particular item. You could audition for the May Festival Chorus and be part of that wonderful annual event. You could be part of Vocal Arts Ensemble, which is a professional singing group. There's the Cincinnati Boy Choir for kids and the Muse Choir for women who like to get together and sing. The one that's gotten a lot of attention recently is the Young Professionals Choral Collective, which now has approximately 800 people singing in it, and it is a wonderful opportunity. They don't really have the opportunity to all get together and sing at once, but they break them down into smaller groups and do occasional programs. So singing is something that's a lot of fun for folks. Another place to consider would be the American Sign Museum. Signs, billboards, and neon, and all of that sort of thing are on display in a 40,000-foot facility in Camp Washington over on the west side of town. Used to be a parachute factory. It's a big space with lots of room in it. You can see golden arches and mail pouch tobacco signs and all of those kinds of things. Two centuries of a uniquely American art form. It's a great place to visit. It's also a place where a lot of events get staged, and you might want to consider going there. If you'd prefer to stay outdoors, perhaps a picnic at Spring Grove Cemetery. Now, you might say, a cemetery? Is that really an appropriate thing to do? Well, they encourage people to come there. It's a beautiful natural setting. It's a gorgeous place to hike around. In fact, they give walking tours. You can see graves that are of Revolutionary War and Civil War generals. It's the second largest cemetery in the United States. It's been around, started in 1845, and it covers 733 acres. I doubt that you'd be able to see all of it if you were to do that. But you'll see people having picnics, of course, but there's weddings and all kinds of things that go on there. It's such a beautiful natural setting. And if natural settings appeal to you, one more that you might want to consider is a drive in the direction of Fairfield and Hamilton to the Pyramid Hill Sculpture Park. It's a 265-acre park in a beautiful rural setting where there are about 50 monumental works that are thoughtfully placed in natural settings all through the park. While you're there, you can rent a golf cart. They, of course, call it an art cart that you can ride around and check things out. And then there's also a little museum there. Right? Not so little. The Ancient Sculpture Museum that has a collection of Greek, Roman, Etruscan, and Egyptian sculptures dating over the last couple of millennia. So it's a really interesting place to take a look at that. So that's the Pyramid Hill Sculpture Park. It's out in Hamilton, Ohio. So there are lots of things to find in this book, 100 altogether.
Yes, yes. It's just a wonderful resource, as I said, in so many ways. And I want to thank all of you for joining us tonight, certainly in this celebration of books and Books by the Banks and a celebration of Cincinnati as well. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been talking with Sandy Bullock about Books by the Banks Festival coming Saturday, October 15th from 10 to 4 p.m. at Duke Energy Center, and with Catherine McKenzie, author of Fractured, and Rick Pender, author of 100 Things to Do in Cincinnati Before You Die, whose books will be featured at the festival. For more information, you can go to wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.